Greet you in Jesus' name, and I greet you in the one who has conquered death, who is alive forevermore. This morning, I just say that I'm not sure why the Lord had me scheduled for this day, and so I just ask you to bear with me. I will not be surprised if I'm emotional. I trust the Spirit of God to be working, and when I'm touched, it's difficult for me to just push it down. So understand that it is not me trying to manipulate the service in trying to be emotional. I've entitled the message, Reflections. All of us here have been impacted to a greater or lesser degree by Anya's death. As I was thinking of an appropriate message to preach after a week like we've had, what came to mind was reflections. I'm guessing, if we're all honest, we have been reflecting on our lives, our priorities, our beliefs, and maybe other things. My goal for this morning is that we not just in the moment of emotion decide we want some things to change in our lives, but that we be intentional. My challenge to myself and to you is, can we make it more of a driving, a stake time, rather than just an off-the-cuff response to what God has been challenging us to? I agree with Lowell. I think this could be, and I think in a lot of ways it will be, a watershed moment. But I also realize that given me a couple months, a year from now, it will be a memory. But will it really have changed who I become? And that's my challenge to you. What priorities, beliefs, values are you wanting to change because of this, and how are you going to make it happen so that in 1, 2, and 5 years from now, you are a different person than you are now? And I'm not talking about a self-effort. I think we all agree that God has been speaking to us this week. And I'm sorry for you if you haven't heard from him. Because God's heart is to connect with you. And it's for us to hear from him. And so this is not about, I am going to make myself a better person. This is about, God is speaking. Am I willing to cooperate with him in what he wants to do in changing me? So that Anya's death impacts for eternity. I'd like to look at the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And you might say, well, where are you going with that? Are you saying that you believe that Anya will come back? I would just like to look at several truths that I found there and apply them here. And they are also questions that we wrestle with. And if there's time at the end, I would like to just take a few moments of silence for you to ponder. In what way are you going to drive a stake and say, from this point on, this is going to be different in my life? By God's grace, I will allow this to change me. Turn with me to John chapter 11. For those of you who can, I would appreciate if you'd stand for the reading of this scripture. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them, plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us go also, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried in with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound up about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. You may be seated. Just like to make a few observations from the text and expound on those. Here we see that Jesus gets word that Lazarus is sick. And for whatever reason, he stayed 2 days in the place that he was. He didn't just, oh, Lazarus is sick, let's go. I would like to suggest that this truth here. Jesus understood the timing of events and the events themselves from an eternal perspective. It doesn't make sense. He stayed. He knew he was sick. They were friends of his. But somehow Jesus understood the timing of events and the events themselves from an eternal perspective. And I would just like to challenge us with what has just happened. Can we see that God understands the timing? And the event itself. And that he's seeing it in the big picture from his eternal perspective. Even though things seem out of control and we wonder where God is, it is God's plan that he get glory. Jesus specifically mentioned that. For whatever reason, the 2 days he stayed, his emphasis was, it is done for the glory of God. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that when he sees the events and the timing, that he says, I'm doing this for the glory of God. What we as humans sometimes take as negligence on God's part is actually just the opposite. He is keenly interested and aware of what is going on. Because of sin and living in a fallen world, our perspective of looking through a glass darkly blinds us sometimes to the incredible work God is doing. You know, if only we had eyes to see into the eternal, I am convinced it would change our perspective of what is going on. And so I don't think it's wrong to just say, God, I don't understand why this happened, but please give me the eyes of an eternal perspective so that I rely on you. The second thing I notice is that both Mary and Martha just came up with this brilliant idea. They said, Lord, if you would have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Very logical conclusion. So maybe we could say, Lord, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. See, we like when God swoops in and saves the day. We like the God of Elisha, but we aren't too sure about the God of Job. We like the God who, like I said, swoops in and saves the day, and everything is fine. But then we read Job and we say, wow, is that the way God is? Mary and Martha saw things from the earthly perspective, and they made a logical conclusion. If Jesus is here, nothing bad like death can happen. We all long for Eden, and we think if Jesus is with us, we will experience it. We are all looking for a God who saves us out of our distresses instead of in our distresses. You know, I don't know why God sometimes spares us. We talked about that. Lowell did. David did, the near misses. I don't know why he sometimes spares us and those we love from harm, and then the next time it seems like he is absent and allows it. And it's in those times we cry, God, where are you? And we think, you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. And it sure feels like you have forsaken us. So I just ask you, and I'm asking this question. So what is our expectation when God shows up on the scene? And you're saying, wait a minute. Well, he's always everywhere present. But let's think about it from this perspective of Jesus when he was physically here. He shows up on the scene. Okay, so that's what I'm meaning when I say he shows up on the scene. What is your and my expectation when God shows up on the scene? Is it that everything is perfect and we actually experience Eden in this fallen world? What if God wants to heal in the midst of hurt, pain, and suffering? Are we going to still say, Jesus, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened? I've heard it numerous times this week, and I'm just convinced God is a God of redemption. And I think that no matter what we face, the difficulties, and I think even the good times, God is wanting to redeem those. Why? Because he's a relational God. He wants our hearts. He wants the connection with us. He wants that relationship. What if God wants you to be drawn closer to him because you see how close he actually was in that time? And I would just like to say, this doesn't happen with our earthly eyes. It has to be seen with our spiritual eyes. And I would just like to pose a question that we could ask. Instead of saying, God, where were you? What if we would ask God, where were you at the time of the accident? What if we were quiet before him and allow him to speak to us in our spirit? You know, we all believe that God communicates with us, or at least I trust you do. But so often you and I are so busy trying to figure things out about life that we don't take the time to listen to what God is wanting to tell us. I have found that when I do, I do take time to listen, God speaks truth to my heart. And there are times that he does that through a song, maybe a picture, maybe a scripture verse that is meaningful to the situation. So what if we would ask, God, where were you when the accident happened? You know, the lies that Satan would like for us to believe is that, aha, you can't trust him. He wasn't there. But what if we realize that what if he wants to show us that was the time he was picking us up and carrying us? You see how different that is from the lie that Satan would want us to believe? God has forsaken you. When in actuality, God shows us and speaks to our heart and says, I was carrying you in that time. I knew you would need it. So are we willing to ask those questions, and are we willing to be quiet before God and say, God, can you speak peace to my heart? And I'm not offering a one-time solution saying, this will take care of your hurt. I just want to show you that Jesus cares. And that sometimes, in the midst of our grief and our pain, we think God has forsaken us. When in actuality, he wants to show us his truth about how he has been there for us. So it is true that when God comes on the scene, that things change. But it is not the circumstances, but our perspective on the circumstances that change. There's a very big difference in that. See, from our perspective, we'd like for God to swoop in and just change the circumstances. And when he doesn't do that, we say, God, where are you? Where were you? Why did you not intervene? Could it be that he's saying, I did show up. I was there. But I wanted to show you a different perspective on the circumstances. And when God brings truth to a situation, there is a peace and a rest that it brings to our heart. So the phrase, Lord, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened, should instead be changed to, Lord, I know you were here. Would you show me specific ways in which you were here for us? God's presence in our lives brings healing, comfort, sustenance, joy, peace. The list could go on. Because he is our all in all. So his presence meets every emotional and spiritual need we will ever have. Just like to remind you again, God is a relational God. And the thing that, if God were afraid of what could happen out of a situation like that, it would be that you would be driven further away from him. Because it's his heart that you and your heart be softened towards him and be drawn to him, and you realize that you need him more than you ever needed him before. See, the enemy would like to say, aha, see, God doesn't care about you. And then you close your heart, you pull away, and you say, can't trust God. But God's heart for you is relationship. It's knowing you. And when your heart is open in a time like this, I just encourage you, cry out to him. Go to him for that relationship. Because he will meet your every need. God's presence is precious. Do we value it like we should? The next truth I'd like to look at is Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asks this question, do you believe this? And I'd like to ask you that question. In this time of grieving, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And the question for you and I is, do we believe this? What gives us so much hope and comfort in Anya's death is that she believed this. It is this truth that gives us hope that even though things in this life are wrong, and they will go wrong, someday we will live in a place where only perfection reigns. And this faith is not belief in some intangible doctrine, but in a person. Jesus is the one that said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he's saying himself. And then he asked Martha this very personal question, do you believe this? So although it is a truth, It is founded in the truth, who is Jesus Christ. Do we believe that Jesus truly is the resurrection and the life, and that this life is only part of the picture? The full picture will be revealed when we join Anya on the other side. The reason we will never die is because our faith is in the one who conquered death and is alive forevermore. So the question remains, do you believe this, or maybe are you still believing this? And then she makes this declaration, Martha does, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ." Have you made this declaration in your heart? When we acknowledge who Jesus is with our heart, we also need to recognize that it means sacrifice and dying to self. But it is all worth it because we have the abiding presence of Jesus in our lives, which is priceless. Our relationship with God should change everything for us. You know, it'd be nice, it'd be good, if our relationship with God were so close that our values and our priorities would always be right. That's God's ideal, you might say. But sometimes we need something like Anya's death to just say, and all of a sudden we're like, whoa, I didn't realize my priorities were so far out of line. I thought I was doing okay. I didn't realize that my perspective was so earthly. But truly, our relationship with God should change everything for us. When he speaks, we listen and we change. Or he changes us, I should say. And then finally, one of the shortest verses in the Bible, Jesus wept. I have often been amazed at this. Jesus was ready to do one of probably what we would consider the greatest miracle ever. Raise someone from the dead. And he weeps. Why did he weep? I'd like to suggest a number of things so that we can know that Jesus feels deeply the things that affect us. I believe Jesus was weeping this week. All of us who have felt the sorrow and the loss, Jesus was weeping with us. What is important to us, what impacts us, impacts him. He cares that much for us. He weeps at the brokenness that sin brought into the world. He was at a funeral, and he was just saying, I think he was just saying, God, this is never how you intended it, that man die. So he was weeping at the brokenness that sin brought. He weeps because he longs for the day when perfection reigns and there is no more death. There's no more separation, no more brokenness, no more sickness, sorrowing. And finally, I'd just like to say, he weeps because he loves people dearly and deeply. I don't want to raise Anya to a level that she wasn't, but this is one of the things that I was impacted by, is that it seems she understood the Father's love for her, and she poured that out to others. She understood that Jesus loves deeply and he loves dearly. In closing, I'd just like to say a few things that I have chosen to allow this time to change me. some things that God has spoken to me about that I want to drive a stake at this time. First of all, relationship with God and others is more important than things. Secondly, I want to choose to love deeply those around me. Thirdly, I want to ask God for his heart of compassion for everyone. And fourthly, I want to allow sorrow to do its work in my heart and not run from it. I would just like to take a few, just a minute or two, and if it's on your heart, I would like for you to write something down or at least take some time to think, what is God asking of me? How will this event this past week, how am I going to allow that to change me? And maybe even some ways of how am I going to implement how I want it to change me. So I'll just give you a few minutes. God, I just thank you for the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit. God, I thank you so much that you are a relational God. And Lord, I just pray a protection over us as a body from the enemy, that he would not be able to get anyone here to believe a lie about your goodness, about who you are. So God, I just pray a hedge of protection around all of us gathered here. And Lord, I pray that if there is someone struggling, that they would be willing to share it with a friend or someone, so that they not walk that journey alone. I pray again for your grace to sustain Laverne's family. Give them the grace to take the next step. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us as a body to know meaningful ways of walking with them. Lord, we need you. And most of all, I just thank you that we can have that personal relationship with you, that we are your sons, we can be called your sons and daughters, and that we can call you Papa. We can call you Daddy. And I pray that in this time, when our hearts are grieving, are soft, that we would run into the hands of the Father. Thank you, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn it over to David.